reading to you from 2 Corinthians, and with the 11th chapter and the 13th verse. For such men are false apostles, deceitful, workmen masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of life. It is not surprising then if his servants masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this is Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been trying to share Jesus ever since. Well, I don't know where you people live, but I know what it's doing in Colorado. We haven't had a warm day for quite some time. We do have sunshine, however. They say we have more sunshine in practically any state in the Union. I believe that. But, you know, I lived in Oregon for a long time where we saw so much rain that that's why they call us Oregonians ducks, because our feet are all webbed from walking in that water. Well, listen, I'll be with you for half an hour tonight. Won't you just kick off your slippers, sit back, and relax? Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to the 8th chapter of Matthew, and let's begin reading with the 23rd verse. That's the 8th chapter of Matthew, verse 23. Then he got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. And he replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of a man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. I've labeled this one the storms of life. See, real disciples follow Jesus no matter what. Now, these men were experienced fishermen. They knew that lake like the back of their hand. They had fished these waters for years and years. Jesus was tired. He'd been preaching for days on end. So, when he got aboard the little ship, he went and laid down in the stern and went to sleep. Now, the Bible tells us a great storm arose. Being seamen with all their experience, they started preparing the ship for the storm, but it got worse and worse. And they were terrified, and they called on the Lord and cried out, Lord, save us, we perish. And Jesus said, why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then Jesus arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Why, the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is that even the winds and sea obeyed him? You know, these cotton-picking people who are worried about global warming, they're all making millions on it, but they're having a good time. Well, they ought to read the Bible, shouldn't they? It's Jesus who brings weather, and he's the controller of weather. Well, but oh, my dear friends, you may have heard me say this before, but I will never forget, just after the Battle of Okinawa, where we landed, we were caught in a typhoon in the North China Sea. Now, can you believe this, friend? 100-foot waves, over 100-knot winds. There was battleships, cruisers, aircraft carriers, APAs, AKAs, destroyers, everything was with us. Well, you know what? Two ships went down not very far from us. Oh, my dear friends, I'm telling you, it was scary. And this went on for 3 days and three nights. And the admiral almost lost his commission because he didn't check up on the weather and took us through this big storm. Now, I wasn't a Christian, but boy, howdy, did I pray. Everyone in our ship prayed. We had a man up in the crow's nest, and we couldn't get him down. So he stayed up there for three full days without food and water, and seasick on top of that. Well, two large destroyers sunk that night, and my friends was on one of the destroyers. So I can truly understand why the disciples were afraid. You know, I spent 18 months up in the Aleutian Islands, out by a Dutch harbor, where they catch these king crabs. In fact, there's movies out, the dangerous, most dangerous craft or trade there is in the world. Well, it's catching these great big old crab up there. Oh, friends, look at it. It can be, well, we say we can be 40 degrees today, 50 degrees there. Calm. All of a sudden, 110, 115-mile wind, what we called them willy-waws. And you don't go out on the deck. You stay below because, I mean, you can't stand up. Well, what was the purpose of this storm? Well, why was a storm allowed to rise on the sea with Christ in the boat? Well, the Bible says the answer is verse 27. It says, the men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. But you see, even the winds obey him. But you know these global warning people? Well, our weather's controlled by the Lord, so wise up, you tree huggers. Wise up. He proved again that he is the Messiah. Calming the storm did three things. It demonstrated who he is, the sovereign Lord who has all power over nature. It strengthened the beliefs of his followers. And it gave to all generations a picture of his care and power. His care and power to deliver through the storms of life. This day you might be going through some of the toughest trials of your life. And I'm here to tell you that he promised to go with us through them all. Lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. Oh, friends, listen. I tell you that I speak at this big Denver rescue mission downtown here in Denver. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of men and women every night. There's three missions down there. And they're hungry and they're cold and some of them are mentally deranged. Some of them are alcoholics. Some of them are prostitutes. Homosexual. There are all kinds of people there. And they're going through the trials, toughest trials of their life. You know, friends, sometimes we fail to tell young Christians that they will go through many trials of life. Don't tell a young Christian that life will be a big bouquet of flowers, because that is a lie. Now, the namer and claimers tell people they will become wealthy and they can demand anything that they want and God has to give it to you. Sorry, folks. That is a lie out of hell. Oh, yes, it is. Now, I want to bring up a point. I was an alcoholic for many years, and I took my family through a living hell. But the morning I called Reverend Tom Baird out of bed in a drunken condition, Reverend Baird kept telling me when I went to his home that God loved me. And I said, oh, preacher, I don't believe it. I just couldn't imagine God loving someone like me. But the preacher said, quote, Cecil. God loves your, God does not love your sins, but he loves you, a sinner. You talk about good news. Now, the preacher asked me if I was a sinner. I said, oh, preacher, I wrote the book on sin. Of course I'm a sinner. He said, are you sorry for your sins? Oh, and I cried, oh, yes, I am sorry. He said, are you willing to accept Christ as your personal Savior? And I said, yes. And I knelt with Reverend Tom Baird and cried out to the Lord and asked him to forgive me, a no-good sinner. Now, you can believe this or not. Immediately, the hurt that I carried in my heart for years disappeared. The hate I carried for my mean stepmother disappeared. Now, you're not saved by feelings, but I will tell you the peace with God will give you when you trust him as your Savior. Oh, it's an experience, oh, my friend. Now, when I walked outside, it seemed like every bird in Seattle was singing in that old cherry tree. I felt like I was in a new world. Reverend Baird said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things pass away, and all things become as new. If I had not had that born-again experience that morning, and if my life had not changed immediately, I would never be able to share that with another alcoholic. Yes, friends, Jesus comes into the heart and makes a person a new person. Friends, when a doctor tells you you're going to die, that will bring fear. The doctors told my wife there was nothing they could do for me. There was a no-win situation. I had a lung tumor. Oh, my friends, I was just a young Christian. And I thought, God, if you call me to preach, why are you letting me die now? Why? Well, God did let me die now. But he showed me so many things through these hours of turmoil I was in constant pain. My lungs hurt so bad I could hardly breathe. Well, my wife and I, a few years ago, went down to Acapulco, Mexico. The man down there is supposed to be able to cure arthritis and all these other things. Well, we went down there, and I met some of the most wonderful Christians. Oh, my star. I got to preach down there 3 times while I was in Mexico. I got to witness to those cabbies. They'd haul us up to the place, and I'd tell them about Jesus. Now, most of these men were Christian. Most of these men were Catholics. And I said, those beads won't get you into heaven, my dear friend. Taking the Lord's Supper is not going to get you into heaven. Ye must be born again. And they couldn't understand it. Some could not understand it. Well, 3 or 4 or 5 of those people I was down there with in Acapulco are dead now. They died. So that treatment didn't do them any good. Let's take Job, for instance. He was a happy person. He was wealthy. He had sons and daughters. He had huge herds of camels and sheep. But wait, Job, something is about to happen. Satan approached Almighty God and told God, Job loves God only because he's a wealthy man. Well, friends, let me tell you what. Satan is an accuser and a liar. And he attacks elderly Christians, trying to get them to doubt their salvation. Satan caused Eve to sit in the Garden of Eden. Things were going pretty well for Adam and Eve until Satan came on the scene. Look what happens to our great-great-grandfathers. Now listen, the thing is, when you doubt God, you are in for a whole heap of trouble. God knew Job's heart, and he accepted Satan's plan. Take away all of Job's wealth, is kill his children, and see that Job... see what Job would do. Well, God said, you can't have Job's life because it belongs to me. Aren't you glad Satan can't take a believer's life? We belong to the Lord. Well, Satan did take Job's children. He took his animals and all of Job's friends, turned against Job, and then he... Well, would you believe this? Satan turned Job's wife against him after his terrible bout with boils. She said, curse God and die. Job didn't, because he knew someday he would see God face to face. Listen, people. People judge us how we react during the storms of life. We sometimes get on a pity pot and cry out, oh, woe is me, and woe is me. I remember the day they told me I had cancer. Well, I'll tell you right now, if you think that's a fun feeling, oh, yeah. It's, and I'm an old man when I had that. And I did everything I could to keep from being operated on. I took everything I could think of to stop that cancer. But anyway, I finally went through the operation. So far, it hasn't come back, and I pray it doesn't. But you see, even through that storm, the Lord held my hand. I remember, I'll be honest with you, friends, the night before the operation, I was frightened. Oh, I sure was. And I prayed, Lord, when I go into there tomorrow for that surgery, let this be a walk through the park. Take my hand, Lord. Help me not to be afraid. Well, the next morning I woke up and I'm pretty peaceful. My wife took me down there at the operating room and they took me in and dressed me and got me ready for surgery. Friends, I was so peaceful, if it had died that moment, it'd have been fine with me. I was happier than a dead pig in the sunshine. God said, I'll go with you even to the end of the world. Well, I've said this to the Lord when I was a young Christian. Lord, if you will give me this, I will serve you. Hogwash. You serve him and he will take care of your needs. The storms of life can't drive us to Jesus, or it can drive us away. I remember, friends, when I was 13 years old, my mom died. And I remember standing beside that casket. My heart was so broken. I never knew such sorrow. I cried and I cried until I couldn't cry anymore. Well, I had prayed that God would spare her life, and I believed. But she died anyway, and I wanted to die myself. You see, I wasn't a born-again believer. I was a head believer. I had no comfort. A few years ago in Tokyo, a missionary was watching a young man would kneel before a statue of Shinto and weep and weep. And the young Japanese did this morning after morning. The missionary went up to this young man and said, sir, I've been observing you for days and you seem to be grief-stricken. The man said, my sweet little girl died and I just can't get over it. The missionary knew Shinto could not give this young man relief. So he proceeded to tell him about Jesus. That morning, that missionary led his young grieving Japanese man to Christ, and Christ gave this young man comfort. Shortly, about 3 years after my mom died, my dad died. Again, I wept till I could weep no more. Again, I was not a Christian. Several years later, when I trusted Jesus as my Savior, I understood why all these things had come upon me. As a young man, I thought I was in love with our neighbor girl. Her and I went to school together. We were going to get married after the war was over. She loved Marine sailors and soldiers more than she loved me, so I dropped her. Well, my heart was absolutely broken. And I'm not proud of this, I went out and I bought a bottle of whiskey, and I proceeded to drink it all. The next day, I was sitting on the front porch in my brother's house with a hangover that wouldn't quit. My sister came over and sat down beside me and put her arm around my neck and said, what's the problem, Cease? I said, I hate women. I'll never date again. My sis got up and said, oh, by the way, Cease, I have a date for you with Gene Jackson tonight. I said, Betty, you must be having hearing problems. I'm through with women forever. Well, sure enough, that night I dated Gene Jackson and immediately fell in love with her. Met her 6 months later, and we've been together now for 64 years. Thank you to Jesus, the one who came to seek and to save sinners like me. You know, there is a danger today that is we might wait too long before we come to Jesus. Now, the Bible says the Spirit of God will not always strive with man whereby man must be saved. Well, after I was saved in Seattle 55 years ago, I wanted everyone to know that Jesus, what he had done for me and my family, so I went about sharing my testimony with anyone who would listen. Well, I was a roofing contractor, and I had a friend who also was a roofing contractor. I'd share Christ with him, and he'd get furious. One day he asked me to go to Everett, Washington to help him bid a big tar and gravel job. As we were driving along, I said, "Charlie, I don't know why you won't accept Christ." And he turned and said, "Mo, Christianity's for old drunks, old ladies, and children, but not for real men." So I shut up. One day my wife and I went to his house, and I left his crippled wife some gospel tracts. That day Charlie came home and spotted those tracts, and he said, "Were the Mo's here?" She said, "Yeah." They want us to go to church with them, Charlie, and I'd love to. He jumped up and he cursed God. He cursed me. He cursed the church. He jumped in his pickup and drove over to his son's gas station. When he pulled up, his son came out to greet him, and he opened the door for his dad, and Charles fell dead in his son's arms. Charlie was 40-some years old. In Proverbs, it tells us that he who is off reproof, harden his neck, shall be destroyed, and that without remedy. Dear friends, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. Let me ask you, friend, what kind of a storm are you facing today? Christ has the answer. You know what he says? "Come unto me, all you who are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And then he says, listen to this, beloved. "He that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast you out." Oh, friends, are you willing to gamble with your soul? Or will you come today and receive the wonderful Christ like I did 55 years ago? But let me tell you, friends, the choice is yours. I want to ask you this very special question. Are you satisfied with your life tonight? Have you been born again? Well, are you witnessing? Are you trying to lead others to Christ? Are you praying for others? Are you praying daily? Are you reading your Bible? The Bible says, "Draw nigh unto God, and Satan shall flee." Listen, friend, I want you to know tonight, I really have a burden for someone who's listening. I don't know who you are. See, God might be calling you to a special service. I don't know what it is. But if he is, I beg of you, get on your knees tonight and surrender your life. It's so important that you follow the Lord. You say, "I can't do it. I don't have the faith." You will have the faith. And if you want faith, you ask him for more faith. Tell him of your unbelief. Ask him if he's real to you. Make him real to you. He'll make himself real to you if you ask him. Well, listen, friends, if tonight you get a little tugging at your heart and you want to trust Jesus and you don't know him, would you like to bow your head with me right now and let me lead you in the most powerful prayer ever known unto man, the sinner's prayer? And here's how it goes. Kind Heavenly Father, in the precious, precious name of Jesus, I admit that I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm sorry for my wayward life, and I'm asking you to come into my heart right now and save me for Jesus' sake. Amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, get on the phone. Call 303-471-8534. I will not use your name on the air. I will not embarrass you. I will not sit down and write and ask you for money. Don't care where you go to church. But, beloved, I am concerned where you spend eternity. If you don't understand what I say, you call me collect. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
Shackled by a heavy burden. And now I am no longer the same. He touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Oh, he touched me.
And all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. I thank you, friends, for listening. Oh, bless your heart. I wouldn't want to preach if I couldn't talk to somebody. Well, I hope it helped you, and I hope it encouraged you. And friends, if there's any way I can help you spiritually, don't be afraid to call me. And just say, Cecil, I want to talk. I don't know all the answers, so I don't think I do, but I can sure tell you about Jesus, because for 55 years I've lived for him. I want you to pray for my wife and I as we go to prison, and pray that God will be with our help, and that we'll be able to financially help many ministries overseas and here in America. So until it's time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.